Gospel, the third chapter. We've been studying the new birth. We've been studying the absolute necessity of being born again. How Nicodemus, the religious man, came to Jesus by night, and in essence he said, reading between the lines, he said, "Jesus, religion is not enough to satisfy this hunger and this desire that's deep within my heart." He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a big wheel in the church of his day. He had very much religion. He had, in fact, about all the religion that a man could get. But religion did not satisfy the need of his heart any more today than joining a church will satisfy the need of a person's heart. Getting religion is not going to get the job done. Becoming a member of a particular church or joining a particular denomination or all of a sudden becoming religious from the standpoint that you begin to observe some laws and rules and you don't do this and you do that, you can still die and go to hell. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night and he said, "Jesus," he said, "I know that you're a man come from God because nobody can do the miracles that you're doing unless God be with him." And he apparently asked him, "Are you going to restore now the kingdom to Israel? Are you bringing in the kingdom of God? Are you at this time going to throw off this yoke of bondage and slavery that we have?" And Jesus in the third verse of John 3 said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And we talked last week about what Jesus was saying, that if a man is not born again on the inside, that if he's not born again in his spirit, he can't even understand the things of the kingdom of God. And that's precisely why we have in our churches so many people who are not blessed when they come to church. They come to church and they sit and they listen and they leave and they're not changed any. There's no insight into what was shared because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. And you can sit and hear the Bible preached and you can sit and hear the Bible taught, but unless you mix that with some faith and get your heart right with God, trusting in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior and become renewed on the inside, you will not understand the things of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was trying to get across. Religion is not what gets it done. Nicodemus did understand Jesus when he said, "You must be born again." And so he questioned him and he said, "How can a grown man who's old climb back in his mother's womb and be born a second time?" And Jesus said in the fifth verse, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He's beginning to give a little further explanation of what this new birth is all about. You see, this is the first time that man has ever heard of the concept of a new birth. Up until this time, you see, up until the message of Jesus, man has always operated under the law. You shall do this and you shall not do that, and that's the way you're going to please God, by keeping a law. And Jesus is explaining here, trying to explain to Nicodemus, that there's a deeper work of the Spirit of God, and it's the only one that will enable a man to truly see or enter in or become a part of the kingdom of God. And then in the sixth verse, we discussed this in detail last week. He said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh." If you have just been born once, if you've just been born in a natural way, your mother gave birth to you and you came into the world as a tiny little baby, you were born of the flesh, what condition are you in? You're a flesh person entirely, aren't you? And your spirit man is what? Somebody said over here, dead. Your inner man is dead in its sin and its trespasses because when you were born, you inherited the nature of your father, Adam, not your father, God. When you came into the world, beloved, God was not your father. And we talk about, the church doesn't talk about, but we hear people in the world talking about the universal brotherhood of man and the universal fatherhood of God, neither one of which are scriptural. These are not scriptural ideas. These are the ideas of a lost man who has decided that he doesn't want to treat his sin the way the Bible says it must be treated. This is the idea of a man who does not want to recognize himself as a sinner. And so he says, God is the Father. of every man. God is not the father of every man. The Bible tells us that the way you become a son of God is how? By believing on Jesus Christ. John 1 and 12. We studied that, didn't we, several weeks ago. Until you become a child of God, you're a child of Adam, who was, when he sinned, a child of who? The devil. There are two fathers in the world. There are two families in the world. There is the family of God, and there's the family of the devil, and you belong to one or the other. Now, when you're born, no matter what your father or mother's circumstances are, your natural parents, when you're born of the flesh, who is your spiritual father? The devil is your spiritual father, because you come into the world with Adam's inheritance. David said in Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. When I was conceived in her womb, when I was a tiny little seed inside her, too small to be seen by the naked eye, at that moment I was a sinner when I was conceived, because I was born with the inheritance of my father and my father's father and my father's father before him and all the way back to Adam, and every one of them were what? They were all sinners. And we are dead, you see, in our sin and in our trespasses. When we get old enough to make our own choices, what kind of choices do we usually make if we're untrained? We make the wrong ones, don't we? You don't have to teach a child how to lie. Did you ever see a child that couldn't lie? I never did. I don't care what kind of families they come out. You've got to teach them not to lie. You've got to teach them not to lie. Have you ever seen a child that it wasn't natural for them to be frightened and for them to need comfort? Why do you think that is? It's because of that inner nature, you see, that they're born with. Now, this doesn't make them awful kids. It makes us and those that went before us awful, because it's that, you see, which has been birthed in our children. And so all of us, including our children, need to be born again. If the only birth we ever experience is the one birth, and that is the birth that comes in the flesh, then we will never be anything more than flesh people. We'll be dead in the spirit. The only life we have is in the flesh. Now, people who have not been born again in the spirit and have only experienced the flesh birth are interested in what kind of things? Fleshly things. They live, according to God's word, carnally. The word carnal. The word carnal comes from the root word carne, which means fleshly, or of the flesh. This is why the entire world is on a sensual trip. The world, being carnal, is concerned about fleshly and worldly things, those things that gratify the eyes, the ears, the smell, the touch, and the taste. Those things that gratify the natural man, his natural mind, and his natural senses, that's all they have any interest in.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Jesus made that so clearly. If God was your father, you'd recognize me, because we're truly brothers. But you're not of your father, you're of your father the devil, who's a liar from the very beginning. Okay, that which of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit becomes what? Spirit. How does a person become a spiritual being or a spirit being? By being born of the spirit, Jesus said. And then in the seventh verse, and this is where we left off last week, marvel not, or don't be amazed, that I said unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus was confused here. He said, I don't understand what it is that you're trying to tell me. I can't comprehend this second birth that you're describing, this new birth, this you must be born again, or to be born from above, or to be born of the Spirit. I don't comprehend what you're talking about there. The only thing I can perceive when you mention the word birth, I think of mothers, wombs, labor and travail. The only birth that I can comprehend is that which comes naturally from the womb. You see, he was entirely fleshly minded. He had no concept of spiritual things, because his spirit was not alive from within. And so Jesus, in trying or attempting to explain to Nicodemus the spiritual birth, spoke these words in verse 8, using a natural example to explain a spiritual truth. Now, this is what all of his parables were, and you'll find that Jesus' teaching from the first until the last is using, because he's dealing with natural men who do not perceive the things of the Spirit, He takes a natural thing, something that they understand, and he uses that to explain a spiritual truth. He uses sheep and shepherds to explain the relationship that he has with the people. He uses bread, something that you eat for the physical body that gives nourishment. He uses that to explain who he is to the spirit man. He uses water, which is the life-giving force for the flesh. He uses that to explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He takes natural things that men understand, and he uses them to explain spiritual principles. We're going to be seeing a lot of that through the Gospel of John. And here's one example of it in verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, the word listeth here means where it chooses or where it determines. Nobody tells the wind where to blow or how to blow. It blows where it wants to. That's what he's saying. The wind blows where it listeth, or where it of its own choosing. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now someone explain to me what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. How did he use the example of the wind? And what truth is he explaining to Nicodemus about the work of the Spirit? Remembering this, that the words that are translated here, the word that is translated spirit, and also the word that is translated wind, are both the same Greek word. They are the word pneuma, which we get our English words using this prefix. We get our words pneumonia, which is a disease of the what part of the body? The lungs. We get our word pneumatic, which is what kind of tools are pneumatic tools? Air tools, you say. All of the words that we get that use the prefix pneuma are those words that have to do with air, breathing, and so on. The word in the Greek pneuma is translated interchangeably wind or spirit. And so you can see here that if you read verse number six and then verse 8, it would read like this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is pneuma. The pneuma bloweth where it chooses. Do you see how that works now? Jesus using the same word, and Nicodemus would understand this word to mean the wind or the blowing or the breath or the breathing, the same word used interchangeably. Don't we say, there is a soft east wind today? And then we say, I've got to get my wind. See, we use the same term. We talk about our breath and we talk about the wind. In other words, we use the same English word interchangeably as well. All right, now, with that understanding, what is Jesus trying to get across here to Nicodemus in the 8th verse? What very simple principle is he trying to explain? Don't look too deep now. It's fairly simple there, Dolly.
In the flesh, you hear the wind, but when you're born again, you hear the voice of the Father, the voice of the Spirit.
Okay. All right. Even more specific than that, though. Someone else. Well, no. He's talking here about the new birth, though. All right. All right. That's what he's trying to get across. He's saying you can't see the wind. You don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it goes. But there is an effect. There's a sound there. You know that something is happening, but you can't explain it. It's the same way with the work of the Spirit. You don't know where the Holy Spirit's come from and you don't know where it's gone. But when it's been through there, something has happened. Something definite has taken place. There is an effect that is noticeable and distinctive. That's what he's trying to explain. We would say today, perhaps rather than using the wind, since we're basically inside people, whereas in Jesus' day, they were basically outside people. We're inside people, and if Jesus were here today, and he were standing before us and talking to us about this, he might use something like electricity rather than the wind to explain this. And he said, you don't understand all about electricity, where it comes and where it goes, but you know when you hit the switch that it produces something. There's a power there. There's an ability there to make an effect and to leave a distinct ministry behind in its wake. And that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. He's trying to say to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, it is not important that you understand the new birth. It is only important that you believe what I'm telling you about it. It's the same today. I think Jesus would say today, it's not necessary for you to understand everything about electricity in order to have light in your home. How many of you understand everything there is to know about electricity? How many of you are enjoying the benefit of the light here today? All of us are, aren't we? You see, it's not important that we understand. It's only important that we believe that if we go back and hit the switch, we'll get light. The things of the Spirit are the same way, Jesus is saying. It's only important that you believe what I'm telling you, that if you will be born again of the Spirit of God, you'll be changed on the inside. You won't be able to explain it. You don't know where the Holy Spirit's coming from and where it's going, but when it has gone through you, when you have been touched by the Spirit of God, you'll be different for it. There'll be a distinctive work accomplished in you. There'll be a change inside you, and you will know that you know that you know that you know that you're different. How many of you have had God's Spirit breathe on you in that way? You've been born again. You don't have all the answers, but you know that you're different, and it's good. Let me see your hand. Praise God for that. Praise the Lord. Now see, here's testimony right here in this room of, 50, 75 people or so, who have had the breath of God breathed upon them, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, have been birthed anew. They've experienced a second birth. They've been born again inside, and they're new, and they're different. Jesus said, Nicodemus, don't be amazed at what I'm telling you. There is a work in the spirit realm that parallels the work of the wind in the natural realm. Just believe what I'm telling you. You ask me the question, I'm giving you the answer. Now let's go to verse number 9 and see how Nicodemus responded. Somebody read that verse 9 for us. Who'd like to read that?
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be?
All right, and somebody read verse 10, Mary. Yes.
Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?
Okay, what did Nicodemus say? Yeah, okay, what's he mean by that? I don't understand it. I'm listening to you, but you just haven't real. All you're doing is talking in circles. I don't understand what you're trying to say. Now, Jesus gave him about as good an explanation as a man could get, didn't he? I mean, we understand it, don't we? But we're not natural men, you see? We understand it because we are listening with the ears of our spirit. And we comprehend what Jesus is saying. We've experienced it already, and it's very simple to us. But to Nicodemus, it was very complicated. He's trying to understand it in his mind, and that's exactly what people are going through today. They hear the Word of God preached. They hear the simple truth of the new birth preached. But because they're still trying to figure it out, they're dying and going to hell, and they still don't either understand it or have received the benefit of it. You will never benefit from any of God's blessings because you understand them. You will simply have to believe them with your heart. Either God spoke the truth or he didn't speak the truth. That's the decision you have to make. Not do I understand it or don't I understand it. It's a matter of do I believe it or don't I believe it. Nicodemus said, I'm trying to figure this out, Jesus. I hear what you're saying. Yes, okay, spirit, wind. Yeah, okay, you can't really see, but I don't understand. Now, he's a very intelligent man. He's a man with a very good mind. He's extremely well-educated. This is precisely why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, he said to the Corinthians, he said, have you ever noticed there's not very many high, not very many noble who are called? There aren't very many of the intellectual or the intelligentsia who are called into the kingdom of God. Have you ever noticed that, Corinthians? Same thing today, isn't it? I tell you, it's a magnificent, miraculous work of the Holy Ghost in these past few years that the Spirit of God has touched people who are in that strata of our society, who in normal times just would not have come. That's a miraculous outflowing of the Spirit of God and a demonstrative working of God's Spirit. This is what Jesus is trying to get across here.
Isn't this exactly the same way we feel today? Theology, so they just forget it.
Right. I liked what Frances Hunter said. That Frances Hunter was a Baptist lady, and was she was trying to get to heaven making chicken salad sandwiches, as I remember, and other kinds of good works, you know. And when she got born again, as she was reading her Bible, and her favorite expression was, "Lord, when did you put that in there? Lord, I never saw that before. That was never in my Bible before. You slipped that in there in my sleep." And it was a reaction that she had, you know, as the word came alive for her, as our brother said this morning. Joe?
Well, I can identify with Nicodemus, because before I was born again, people would come up to me, particularly when we moved to the South, and say, "Are you saved?" And I would get so mad, because I think, saved from what? And they'd say, saved from hell. And I said, "Well, I'm not in hell." You know, and it just didn't make sense to me what they were trying to share. And I was in a Sunday school class over at another church, and we were talking about being born again, and it just hit me. Born again and saved were the same thing. And I asked the question, I said, "Is that the same thing?" I mean, it was like a revelation
yes.
thing. But it took all those years to put the two together, that I just could not see into the spirit that I had to be born again, that it was the same thing as being saved from eternal death. But yet it never really, I just could not understand it. It seems so simple now. And I just went on and asked the Lord to come into my heart. And it's like I couldn't figure it out before. I just said, "Lord, I don't understand this, but I want to be right with you." And that was all I prayed. And he came into my life. I mean, my heart was right. And then all those things that I didn't understand, I understood.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Right?
Yeah, this is one of the things I believe Paul referred to in Hebrews, where he says, where he's talking about the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Yes.
Until the division is made, and only the Word can do it, there's no comprehension of any kind. So anything for spiritual.
Yes,
comprehension.
That's right. Yes, that's very good insight. Mike, again.
Isn't there a verse that says something about the Lord that used the foolish things to confound the wise?
Yes, that's in that passage of 1 Corinthians 1.
I was just thinking that, you know, really, the deeper truth, the real truth of life comes by revelation and not through the mind.
Yes.
It doesn't ever come through the mind. And usually the real high mind, the intelligent people are searching so deep that they miss the truth.
Yes.
They skip right over it. And it's really the simple things.
Yes, amen.
They've confounded the wise, but it's the simple things, the simple truth of the gospel that is really the deep truth.
Yes, amen. Remember that too. That's very good. That's a very good comment, and it's a very good insight. That when God speaks to you, it's simple. It's not complicated. God's truth is simple, and if you've got to dig, you know, in order to get out some kind of a complicated truth, those are doctrines of demons and doctrines of devils that are seducing people who are who must have that in order to satisfy the desire of the natural mind. Paul wrote over in 2 Corinthians, I believe it was the 5th chapter, he said, I'm concerned these people are going to come along and seduce you and steal from you the simplicity that's in Christ. God's things are simple, and they do come, as you say, by revelation in the Spirit, not by understanding with the natural. Right. Well, unfortunately, there's a strata in every society, apparently, from the beginning of time, that is self-sufficient. They just don't need anything else. Everything's pretty well under control, and they're just really all right. There's no conviction there of sin. There's no need for anything more. And so, as Joan said this morning, saved from what? Don't see themselves as a sinner. Jesus will meet every need. Well, I don't have any needs. I mean, I've got everything pretty well together. And so those who respond to the gospel are those who are hungering and thirsting and in need. And the Spirit of God does have to bring folks to a place where you recognize a need. It doesn't necessarily have to be poverty, but just a basic inner need. Mm-hmm. We have to learn that eventually we're not self-sufficient. The Lord had to show me that before I would come to a place where I would look for a power that was higher than myself. Even though I was raised in the church. Yes. You know what happens there? I believe the Lord has shown me what happens there. We talked last week at some length about the man being three part, about him being spirit on the inside, about him being soul, and about him being body and how he, with his body, he contacts the natural world through his five natural senses, through his soul or his mind, his will and his emotions. He reasons and he contacts the intellectual realm. And with his spirit man, deep down on the inside of him, he contacts God. And this is the part of man that is eternal. This is the part of man, the outward part, that falls away. And it's the house that we live in for 70 or 80 years. Until we're born again, we don't even have the comprehension that we are a spirit. The word spirit doesn't have any meaning to us. From my own standpoint, I recognized that I had a body and I recognized that I had a soul, a will and emotions. And I knew that there was something inside me, but my spirit was dead. Say, remember we X'd that last week, was dead. Before we're born again, it's dead in its sin and trespasses. It's separated from God. There's no life to it. It's there, but there's no life to it. And I didn't even recognize that there was a realm of the spirit completely beyond. And it's what you were sharing this morning here, Paul, just a few minutes ago, about when you're born again, there's a whole new realm that will challenge the most brilliant mind to find out what's in that realm and to begin to comprehend it. Now, what happens is when a man is born again and the life of God is breathed back into his spirit once again, how did this happen according to Ephesians 2:8? How does a man become born again? He's saved by grace through his what? What's his part in it? It's the grace of God. You see, salvation is a two-sided coin. It's the grace of God. It's not because we deserve to be saved. He loves us. His grace. Grace is unmerited favor. He says, I will save you from your sin. That's the grace of God. What's our side of the coin? What's our part? Faith. Okay? It's by grace, by the grace of God we're saved, through our faith. If either one of these is absent, there's no salvation. The grace of God is reaching for every man. But only those who believe are receiving salvation. Is that not right? And so it's a two-faceted, it's like two sides of a coin. All right, now when a man, let's take a man who has a good mind, right? And he's been struggling like Nicodemus is here. He's been looking to know the truth, and he gets down here. He said, how can these things be? I don't understand them. And he finally gets so frustrated with his mind that he says, mind, get out of the way. I just believe that what Jesus said is true. And I exercise faith in that. What's going to happen to him? He's going to get born again. Now, it'll surprise the devil out of him, but he's going to get born again. And he becomes a new creature. He becomes a new creature. And he says, wow, oh, this is really great. Okay, now, in the midst of that, he's always just like a little child. He's just in love with Jesus, and everything is marvelous, and God's opening his word up, and everything is glorious. And just like a little baby, God is moving in his behalf. Everywhere he turns, he sees the hand of God. He's got authority and power over the devil. He lays hands on people and he sees them get healed. And he has prosperity in his life, and there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's peace there. There's power over sin. The kinds of things that used to bother him and be temptations to him are no longer any temptations. I mean, he didn't have to do the things that he used to do that he knew he shouldn't do, but he couldn't help himself anyway. He's delivered from all of that. And everything is glorious. And he says, oh, I think I'll go into the ministry. And so he goes into the seminary, as Mike was saying. And in the seminary, he begins to hear some things that he is challenged, rather, I should say, to have his mind exercised and his intellect exercised. In many cases, in most cases, a man would not go into the seminary, but he would just begin to live for Jesus. And as he's living for Jesus, when you are born again, do you get all the answers? All right, now this man's been born again. Let's say he's been born again for, Lord, give us enough time to do this. Let's say he's been born again for a period of years, however many that period of time is. And along and through there, he has encountered some things that didn't work like he thought they ought to work. And he's encountered some situations, he's prayed a prayer and it just didn't happen the way he thought it ought to happen. Or he's done something that he thought he got the word on it and he operated in that and it just didn't happen the way he thought it ought to happen. And after a period of time, a number of these instances begin to build up in his life. Now, when he was born again, did he lose his intellect? Did he lose his good mind if he had one in the beginning? No, he didn't lose that. Now, along here, he begins to forget how he got saved. How did he get saved? Through his faith. By the grace of God, through his faith. And he believes that now that he's received Jesus by faith, he's to walk in his understanding. Now he's going to get into trouble, isn't he? And so he walks in his understanding. He said, well, I don't understand that. And he begins to walk away from faith into the understanding of his mind. And this is where you get apostasy. And this is where you get doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God, where a man will begin to preach what he understands rather than on his believing what the Word of God says. Now, forever, all of us, every one of us, must remember Colossians. Turn to Colossians. This is a very dangerous thing for every Christian. It's a trap that the devil will lay for every believer if you're not careful. James said, or Peter said rather, we need to be sober and vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You remember how easy it was in the beginning just to believe God, just to trust him. Verse chapter 2, Colossians, verse number 6, read aloud with me, please. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive Jesus? How are you supposed to live? You see it? You see it? Now this is what is happening, you see, to many good men, Mike, who started in faith. But because they began to encounter things in the realm of the Spirit that they did not understand, instead of responding to them the way that they responded to the initial Word of God and were born again through their faith, they are responding to these instances on the basis of their understanding. And their understanding is not able to comprehend it all. And they're making the same mistake that they made time after time after time back here in this stage of their life before they were born again. And so this principle that we're establishing here, or that we're developing out of this passage of Scripture, is a principle that is important for the Christian all through his life. We must be careful not to think that just because we've been born again, now we have comprehension in everything. We are to live by faith. I don't know about you, but there are things that come along on a regular basis with me that I don't understand. Do you ever encounter that? Yeah. In the realm of the Spirit, there are things that happen I don't understand. There's only one reaction for a Christian, one who wants to stay walking close to the Lord, and that is he's got to respond by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God said. Not faith in what I see, not faith in what someone else says, but faith in what God says. See, that is a principle by which we must live. Okay, Jesus said to Nicodemus back in the third chapter once again, let's not leave this before we finish this thought. Nicodemus said, I don't understand. How can these things be? In verse 9, Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? The word master is the same Greek word that is translated in verse 2, teacher. It means instructor. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he said, I know that thou art an instructor come from God. Or he said, rather, we know. Apparently there were some other people involved there. Nicodemus happened to be the spokesman that was coming to bell the cat in the middle of the night. Do you understand the term bell the cat? How many of you understand that? A few of you. Well, let me explain it. This term I use from time to time. The mice were under attack. And the mice all got together and hatched a plan as to how they were going to keep the cat from destroying them. And the plan was that they were going to put a bell around the cat's neck so that anytime the cat would get near, that the mice would hear the bell and they could flee. And everybody voted on the plan, and everybody thought it was a great plan that the cat would wear a bell. And then the question was asked, who was going to bell the cat? Who's going to put the bell on the cat? And apparently that was Nicodemus's job here. You go find out. Go over there in the middle of the night and find out what this guy is doing. We want to get the truth. And he was the one apparently appointed to go bell the cat. Jesus asked him a very penetrating question, didn't he? He said, are you a ruler of the Jews, a master of Israel? You're an instructor, and you do not understand spiritual things? We have that same problem today, don't we? We have very many instructors of religion that do not understand spiritual things. And this is what you were bringing that sister before. Those people need very much our prayers. They don't need our criticism, but they need our prayers. Because many of these people are very sincere, as we saw Nicodemus was a couple of weeks ago. Very sincere, but have never been penetrated by the Spirit of God. They need our prayers desperately. They need our prayers. We don't need to sit under their teaching. We need to sit under teaching that's anointed of the Holy Ghost. But we need to pray for those who are not walking in that, revelation. Well, let's close there. We'll pick up next week with the 10th verse, and then on down through 11 and 12. And I think we probably get over into verse 18 and 19 next week. At least we'll try to.